Flugshow, der Skispringen-Podcast. Alle News zum Skispringen der Männer und Frauen, spannende Hintergrundstories und exklusive Interviews präsentiert euch das deutsch-österreichische Trio Tobias Ruf, Louis Holuch und Gernot Clement.
Die Flugshow ist zurück aus ihrem Frühlingsschlaf und damit ein ganz herzliches Willkommen zu unserer neuen Ausgabe. Mein Name ist Louis Holuch und ich freue mich sehr, euch nach 6 Wochen Pause wieder begrüßen zu dürfen. Wir als Flugshow-Team haben uns kürzlich zusammengesetzt und Pläne geschmiedet, wie wir euch den Sommer mit neuen Ausgaben versüßen können, und ich kann jetzt schon mal versprechen, ihr dürft euch da auf einiges freuen. Los geht es diesmal mit einem ganz besonderen Interview. Ich habe mich nämlich virtuell mit einer Frau getroffen, ohne die das Damen-Skispringen eigentlich unvorstellbar erscheint. Im zarten Alter von gerade mal 13 Jahren hat sie ihr internationales Debüt gegeben und war seit jeher Teil der Weltspitze, bis sie im März ihr Karriereende bekannt gab. Sie schrieb Skisprunggeschichte, indem sie die erste Slowenin wurde, die ein Weltcup-Springen gewann und auch den Gesamtweltcup anführte. Doch auch abseits der Schanze hatte ihr Wort stets Gewicht, weil sie sich nie scheute, offen und ehrlich ihre Meinung zu sagen. Und auch deshalb war es für uns reine Ehrensache, sie hier in unserem Podcast zu begrüßen, um mit ihr über ihren sportlichen Werdegang, ihre prägendsten Personen und Momente und vieles mehr zu sprechen. Und damit auch genug der Vorrede, nun wünsche ich euch ganz viel Spaß mit diesem englischsprachigen Interview mit Spela Rogl.
Okay, so obviously the first question is also dealing with what you have been up to lately. Have you even been able to enjoy your life as a retired ski jumper already?
Well, not really. I've been busy since we got home from Oberhof. I've been doing things for my sponsors and media things. And well, I had one day when I went skiing, and all the rest were... Well, yeah, was pretty much busy. Then we'll see. I think when I should be starting to train, then it will hit me that I'm really like over with ski jumping.
So you have no idea what you're going to do instead then, until now?
Well, I had some meetings. Of course, I will help at my dad's company at home. That was like a plan the whole time. Mm-hmm. For all the rest, we still have to do some meetings, and I will decide what I actually want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you've mentioned your dad, I really have in mind this statement you've made in this documentary movie in Tchaikovsky last year, where he said he wouldn't let you do ski jumping because he knows how much you have to sacrifice to be on the top. Now that you've ended your career, do you understand why he was saying that? And was he also right with it?
Yeah, of course, professional sports take a lot of things that you have to say no to. And you just have to be focused 24/7 each day of a year, and for many years you have to choose between time with friends or training, time for vacation or training. everything is online for a professional sport, but because we enjoyed in it, it's not hard. But on the end, when you like speak with people about it, you actually get it how much you gave away for a sport, for a love that you were doing for many, many years. And yeah, in some way, my dad was right, but I had much more support than he had from my family and from my friends. And yeah. That was the thing that make it easier.
And how was your mom in that regard? Did she always supported you, or was she at the beginning like, maybe it's a bit too dangerous for my daughter?
Yeah, my mom always wanted me that I do dancing.
Okay.
And I actually did before I started ski jumping. But yeah, mostly I did it for my mom.
Okay.
I was not that good at it. But yeah, when I started to ski jump, my mom, yeah, she thought, yeah, they will do it for me. And then they will say, yeah, we don't want to do it. But no, it's just this adrenaline you got from a ski jump. Yeah, it just takes you in. You can't go out. You just need this feeling all the time. And I really enjoyed it. When we were kids, yeah, we had really fun in the club with all the others. And yeah, of course, I had my brother beside and my two cousins. So I always had company.
But you've also mentioned that you were the first girl jumping in your club. How long did that last? When were other girls coming?
Yeah, I was the only one when I started. So for the guys, it was really weird that some girl is there in the group with 20 guys. But then I was the only one until Ursa started. So that's probably a year difference, I think, something like that. And then me and Ursa, and then also some younger girls came.
You've mentioned Oberhof already. Was it like the perfect farewell for you, also with that your parents were able to come and see your last competitions?
Well, for me, the perfect story would be to finish in Planica on a ski flying hill. But for now, that's still not possible. But anyway, I would rather finish at home with all the fans that we had in Ljubno the years before. But yeah, it happened that was Oberhof. Anyway, I think 50 people from Slovenia or so came. For me, the best would be to finish on the podium, but top six on the last competition is also pretty good. So yeah, to have my parents there was something really, really special.
And at least for me as a viewer, it looked like in this last stage, especially after the Olympics, you sort of had a new or different level of energy in your ski jumps. Is that just my opinion, or did you also feel that you just were able to give even more than before into your jumps?
Yeah, I would say like that all my energy was in for the Olympics. I really wanted that medal, and my jumping level was really, really high. But for the Olympic medal, you need to have good jumping. good conditions for that, and of course some luck. But yeah, then a week or 2 weeks after Olympics, these 2 weeks were really, really hard for me from the mental stage, because I really put everything for that one day on Olympics, and I wanted to end the season already there after the Olympics. But then, yeah, I spoke with my parents and they say, yeah, you never give up, you have to fight and finish this. And then I got, I don't know, just another motivation to show the youngers that you can fight even after a failure.
But don't you think it's a bit harsh to yourself saying that only because you didn't reach one of three medals on that very day, it's a failure? Are you always that hard to yourself?
Yeah, always, always. I always like put myself a goal. I give everything for that goal. And then, yeah, it depends how it goes. But anyway, I find the motivation and I keep fighting and pushing myself to the limits.
But you actually weren't the only one who thought about immediate retirement after the Olympics, but obviously due to different reasons. Yeah, how would you rate those Olympics for your sport? I mean, everyone was looking forward to this special event with the premiere of the mixed team. And now we are still talking about what happened in this competition. What is your view on this?
Yeah, I think the last two seasons were pretty intense because of all the rules for with COVID. And it was pretty hard for us, the athletes, and of course for all the teams. Because we had to be strict with who we speak, with who we go out. Like at home, we were just at home and training. So we were basically all the time with the team. We couldn't see our loved ones because we set a goal to go to Olympics without being infected with COVID. So because of all that, the event in Beijing was really intense. And also the rules were much, it was not like a normal Olympics that we did before. And then we do the competition and yeah, our competition was really windy. And also the mixed team event for an historical event with so many disqualifications. For me, it was hard to watch because I was there cheering for the team, of course. Our team did great. All four were jumping at their best. You can't take that. They were winners anyway, but having so many disqualifications at the most important event, which happens on 4 years, it's really hard. It's really hard to take in that you are disqualified. And also, maybe the rules for the suits should be more strict from the beginning of the season. And then I think we wouldn't have a problem on the Olympics. But yeah, usually these things don't happen there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also what I feel like most people had an issue with, because it was inconsistent and intransparent, because if you're not part of the circle and know how those things work, you can't really understand it from the outside. So that was different, difficult to watch, actually. Getting back to your decision, do you remember the first time you were actually considering a retirement?
Yeah, I think it was like 2 years ago. I said I will be done after Olympics because, yeah, for the girls, it's a little bit different to jump over, I don't know, 30, 35. If you like want to have a family at 35, you're pretty old to have it. So, yeah, you just need to look at a bigger picture. And I was thinking about it for a long, long time. And I always said, I want to finish my career when I will be on a top level. And I reached that. And I said to myself that good jumping shouldn't blur in my mind when I will be like deciding, yes, this is it. And yeah, it happened. I had a lot of meetings with my coach, with my parents. Like my parents always wanted me, maybe you should end your career now. But now that I did, they kind of want that I would do it more. It's also very different for them. I've been a ski jumper for all my life. And yeah, they've been going to competitions many times. So it will be different also for people around me.
But just to make this clear, there was basically nothing that could happen that could have changed your mind. Like if they say, well, next year in March or April in Planitza, you will be able to ski fly. So there was nothing that could have turned you around in that regard.
Yeah, actually, ski flying would be the only thing that could change my mind. But every year you hear girls will fly from 2 to 5 years. For the past 10 years, I'm hearing this. So waiting for make one jump on a ski flying hill or a few jumps there, in a time that is not really, yeah, you have no idea when the girls will fly. But yeah, this would be actually the only thing that would change my mind.
I can imagine that discussions like this, and also topics like forehits tournament, prize money and all that stuff, are also part of the reasons why you have retired from ski jumping.
Yeah, I just I got tired of fighting each day or every season. For us, the progress is slow. For the people around, the progress is fast. I think the big change that happened in the past 10 years is actually the level of ski jump, the technique of the girls. It's completely different than from the, I don't know, from the first world championship in Czech Republic. But the things around didn't change that much. The prize money is pretty much same for the best, I don't know how many years when we changed it the last time. We get some more competitions, but on the end of the seasons, they are like six competitions canceled and we don't get any replacement. I was pretty annoyed this year that Planica didn't take the finals. We don't take competitions, which is weird. Competing at home and actually in Planica where we train the most is something really big for the athletes. And yeah, all this fighting and yeah, you don't have money for trainings, you don't have money for suits. So if you don't have good equipment, you can't be on the level. If you don't have good trainings, you also can't keep up with the rest of the world. So yeah, all this fighting for everything makes you just tired.
Yeah. But would you rather, let's say, blame it on like national federations, or is it also FIS that needs to be more supportive towards women's ski jumping?
Yeah, I wouldn't blame anyone. I know how the sponsors work. And yeah, I think also the FIS should make another step in this direction. And also national ski associations, they are doing their best, but still a step forward wouldn't be a bad thing. Especially after a season like this one, I think the girls were on a high level. In Villingen, they were flying far. Despite the weather problems we had there, the Olympics was really interesting to watch. Individual, the mixed team was a mix. But yeah, I think we deserve better chances to show also to sponsors that we are good as the guys, or that we are good as some other sports.
Is your decision of retiring then in that case even a relief for you, because you know, like the fight at least for you is over now?
Yeah, I felt that right away, but now I want to help girls. I don't know why, but I have this like empathy. I want to help them to be even bigger, to show the world that they are capable of flying far. And somehow I will help them no matter what. And also to all the younger girls, I want to open them opportunities to be the best in the world.
Can you remember when you've actually noticed that your sport is not only about competing, but also like in that regard politics, then fighting for more rights and more competitions? Was there a certain moment where you clicked somehow, or was it a process for you?
Yeah, I think I knew it right away.
Okay.
When they were fighting for the first Olympics in Vancouver. Yeah, it was just a fight all the way. And also for the World Cup. Yeah, I was there all the time. I saw what is happening for the World Championship, for the team events. Everything, yeah, we had to push really hard to have what we have now.
But on the sportive side, you've always managed to be part of those big events. Is this something that makes you proud in a retro perspective?
I was never thinking in that way. Many of the reporters give me a lot of numbers that how did it go? When you're an athlete, you don't really think about it. And I still don't. Probably after some years, I will really knowledge what I did and how I was actually writing history for Slovenian women's ski jumping and women's ski jumping in general.
Okay, then we will skip the numbers. if you don't like this too much. But one number I have to mention, because if I calculated correctly, you were 13 when you've made your COC debut. Is this right?
Yeah, probably.
How was it for young Spieler to be there?
I was really excited to be competing at that time at the highest level and to see other girls. And to see my idols like Daniela Iraskostols and Anita Zagan. For me, I had big eyes. And yeah, it was something new, but I really, really enjoyed it on those Continental Cups. But yeah, I was really proud I was there at the age of 13.
You've already mentioned a couple of great names you have been jumping with. So you were part of the pioneer generation, let's put it like this, and also this current generation. Do you feel there's a difference in between the characters from this last generation and this current generation?
I don't know. Everyone have the same goal of winning. I would say that's the same for everyone. The old ones and for the new ones.
Old ones. You know, you shouldn't say that as a guy, so I didn't mention that term. That would be too mean. What I find really remarkable is that you've been practicing the sport for so long, but you never, if I'm correct, missed a competition due to an injury. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think I stayed home for 1 or 2 World Cups because of my back problems. But otherwise, I'm pretty much injury free. And that was also one of the goals for my career. And I'm really happy I could manage to do it.
But do you have an explanation how this is possible? I mean, like, there were so many great names that have suffered major injuries in the past.
I don't know. I just think my coaches managed to write me good trainings and that they care for my how I'm training. They were checking on me all the time. And yeah, I guess they did a great job and that's quite a success.
Then obviously we have to talk about one specific event which happened on the 5th of December 2014. I think you know what happened on that day, but did you have any expectations ahead of this competition? Did you have any feeling what would happen on that day?
No, I had no idea, because before those competitions in Lillehammer, we were jumping ice tracks in Kran and I was testing new skis and I was jumping really, really bad. And I had no idea why. And then we checked the bindings, and the back binding just, yeah, it was just something wrong with it. So my dad just changed it. And I came to Lillehammer. And from, yeah, the first jump was not that good, but all the rest, I was jumping really, really good. But I didn't expect I would be winning, but top five, I was sure I would do it. And then I was in top six after the first round. And I don't know, I had really good mental coach at that time. And she just relaxed me completely. I was not thinking about winning. I was just thinking how to jump at my best. And I did it. And when I landed, I was like, oh, this was really good. Maybe I can move some places. And then when I was standing in the leader box and Sarah jumped and she went behind. And then Dani jumped. And I thought, yeah, this will be so close. And then number one was beside my name. And I was like, this is unbelievable. And I was super happy. And all my teammates were also happy because this win was not only for me, but for the whole team, to show that our small country, Slovenia, can be winning also in women's ski jumping. So it was really, really big moment for me and the rest of the team.
But only with the end of the day, the story didn't quite finish, because obviously in the next competition, you wanted to try out your yellow bib for the first time, but it almost didn't happen. Because as I remember, you traveled to Japan and parts of your equipment were missing.
Yeah, first of all, I really wanted that we had more competitions after Lillehammer, but we had 1 month break and it was really hard just to be training while you're jumping so good. And then we came to Japan and on the airport, they say, yeah, we don't have your skis and your bags. And we were like, okay, they will come tomorrow, right? And I said, yes, yes, of course. And then we get to the hotel and they say, yeah, we have no idea where your skis are. So we got the bags next morning, but not the skis. And we had no idea what to do. And, you know, jumping with other skis, it's not an easy thing to do. But luckily, at least we had our boots and helmet in our backpack. So at least we had that. And then we waited and waited. And then my coach was like, yeah, you have to go to warm up. And we were all like, yeah, but we don't have our skis. And Chika said, yeah, you have to jump the qualifications. And we were all like, okay, now we really have to do this. But yeah, I got the skis from Daniela and I am really grateful that she could borrow me the skis. That was a big moment from her side to let me her skis. And yeah, then I jumped with her skis on one competition, and for the podium, I got my skis.
But it's even more remarkable that you said that it's tough to jump with someone else's skis, but then you still manage to jump on the podium.
Yeah, I think when you have no other choice, you just mentally prepare. Yeah, this is it. You have to do it. You know how to do it. You just have other skis. So I think, yeah, when you are pushed to the limit, you just do what you have to do.
But in general, we could say that this 2014-2015 season, at least in terms of the results, was your best in your career. Was there actually a special reason why your level of jumping was so good at that time?
Yeah, I remembered we changed the coach before the season. And I was training at my home club with my coach, with Jaroslav Sakala. And each training was especially for me. And we did a lot on the mental side. I will be forever grateful for that they could provide me with such a good care of a professional athlete. Yeah, everything seems so easy. But yeah, it actually was not that easy, but I was just enjoying jumping. I enjoyed every jump I did. And then the next season, I just wanted too much. And everything, yeah, was falling apart because I was not happy with place 6. I was not happy with place 10. And everything was just starting to collapse.
I remember you were quite sad about Yaroslav moving back to his home. So would you say that he and his coaching and also... Yeah, coaching background and also the fact that he was a world-class ski jumper himself was probably the biggest and best influence on your career?
Yeah, I always say everything happens for a reason. I was really sad when he said that he's going back and kind of lost. I felt like I was alone. I trusted him the most, and then this disappeared. So I had to get used to other coaches. And yeah, for me, gaining the trust was the hardest thing through the whole years with the coaches. The coaches had really hard job to gain my trust, and that's what Zoran actually did. He gained my trust and my jumping right away went on a higher level. And yeah, the impact from Yaroslav was huge. He opened my eyes for many things. And also he's a world champion in ski flying. So when your coach is that good, you know, he has some knowledge.
Yeah, but not sounding too mean, but Zoran was kind of the opposite because I don't remember him having a great career as a ski jumper. But how did he approach training and philosophy and stuff like this?
Well, yeah, he was total opposite from all the coaches. my way of thinking is always be winning, be the best, search for the best. And that's also what Zoran told me on the first meeting. I want that this team is the winning team. And I think this was the first thing that, yeah, just cleared my mind. And I was like, okay, he really mean it. He have the vision how we can be the best. And then with all the trainings on the hill, we started to jump really good already on the first season that he came. But we couldn't really manage as a team to show it on the competitions. But yeah, somehow his way of work worked for each of us. And yeah, he gained my trust, and when I have this trust, my jumping is just, it was much easier because I knew we are working good and that this will bring results.
Besides that one World Cup victory you've managed to score, which of the other podiums you've achieved was the best one?
Yeah, I always say the team medal in Oberstdorf. Reaching that means that the team is working really good. And yeah, we were actually fighting for the gold. And when we couldn't reach it, we were all a little bit, not sad, but just kind of disappointed, and each of us was thinking, yeah, maybe half a point with the style there and there and there, and we would have it. So Zoran Anže had to say to us, yeah, girls, you have a medal, it's fine. It's a silver medal, it's still good. But yeah, to reach it with my friends, it's, yeah, something unbelievable to stay on the podium with all of them. And also to be showing good jumps. After all, it was, an award for me. And yeah, team medal is always an award for a team captain. So I was happy for that. I think this will stay in my memory for a long time.
Would you also say that this is sort of your favorite memory of your career, or would you point out something else?
I don't know. I had so many nice memories. But I think some of the competitions in Ljubno with the people, it's crazy. We say it's our small Planica. We have so much support there, and seeing all the smiley faces, even if you don't do that good, it's just special.
Will you actually miss something besides the jumping itself, that now that you started a different life?
Yeah, probably I will start with traveling all the time.
Really? Okay.
Because I'm so used to be home for a day or two and then just pack my things and go and come back. And probably this will be, and also all my friends all over the world, seeing them every weekend. Now it will be just over the phones. Mostly flying on the ski jumping hill.
It's so funny that you've actually mentioned traveling, because I remember, like, pretty much exactly 1 year ago, I had sort of the same interview with Sarah, and she said she will not miss traveling at all. So it's funny how different.
Yeah, but I think she missed it anyway.
And on the other side, what will you not miss at all?
Equipment control. Or waiting when it's really windy, or the cold, staying on the cold. Yeah, these things. Yeah, what else? Training in summer when it's 40 degrees.
Understandable. But it's good that you haven't mentioned like media and journalists, because there are a lot of retiring athletes that say, thank God, no more stupid media questions anymore. So it's good to hear that you are on a different side of things. Will you also miss any specific ski jumping hill after all that you won't jump anymore?
Yeah, of course. I will miss Klingenthal. And yeah, which else? Of course, really nice old background. I think that would be the first hills that I think about it.
And which one will you not miss at all?
Ramsau.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we had so many trainings there before our World Cups even started. But I don't know, never liked it. Have no idea why, but I just never liked it.
If we, let's say, I don't know, meet again in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years or so, what do you think people will remember from you? What would be your heritage? Have you ever thought about that? No.
No, I haven't. Hopefully some good things, not the bad ones. I hope for my smile, maybe.
Guaranteed, safe call.
Yeah, and for, I don't know, for making history. I have no idea.
And was there any like headline or report in your career that you actually still remember? Because I don't know, it was funny or legendary in another way. I don't know.
Well, honestly, I was never reading anything.
Okay.
So I think that would be the question for my mom, because she reads everything and store everything. Probably when I will be 30, she will print me the whole album of things.
And will you read it then, or will you stay sit there saying, nah, just leave me alone with this?
I don't know. I will see you at that time.
Okay, I will ask you again then, if you actually did. Well, if there's anything you want to mention now that this is like at least our last interview in with direct relation to your ski jumping career.
Yeah, I have no idea.
So everything has been said.
I just want to say thank you to everyone for the support, to you for making a lot of good things for women ski jumping in the past years. And yeah, just to everyone, I am always happy for every kind message, even for the critics. It makes me better. So yeah, just want to say thank you.
Well, that's basically what I can repeat. I've been watching women's ski jumping for almost 15 years now, and that will be really weird to watch competitions without you being on the start. So I don't know how to handle this summer to get used to it, but I have to. But on the other hand, it was always a pleasure watching you, talking to you. And yeah, I think we could say that the sport will miss you a lot. Hopefully the relations won't cut it at this point in time.
Thank you. I hope not. I hope we will be in touch.
Und das war sie dann auch schon wieder. Unsere erste Ausgabe nach unserer kleinen Frühlingspause. Wir hoffen, sie hat euch gefallen. Falls dem so ist, dann lasst uns doch gerne eine Rezension da, zum Beispiel auf Apple Podcasts oder Spotify. Einfach in die App gehen, unseren Podcast suchen, Flugshow, und dort eine Sternebewertung dalassen. Wir freuen uns natürlich über 5 oder 4 Sterne, aber natürlich auch über Anregungen und Kritik. Da erreicht ihr uns am besten über unsere Social Media Kanäle auf Facebook und auf Instagram, beides natürlich unter dem Namen Flugshow. Und wer nicht auf Social Media aktiv sein sollte, aber gerne trotzdem mit uns in Kontakt treten möchte, den können wir unsere E-Mail-Adresse noch ans Herz legen. Das ist ganz einfach flugshowpodcast@gmail.com. Das war's dann von dieser Stelle. Wir hören uns in 2 bis 3 Wochen wieder. Das ist jetzt so der Rhythmus, den wir anstreben bis zum Start des Sommer Grand Prix Ende Juli. Bis dahin, macht euch eine gute Zeit, genießt die Sonnenstrahlen da draußen und wie immer gilt, fliegt, soweit es geht. Bis dann.